The General Insurance presents Shower Ballads by Shaq.
And I'm gonna keep on loving you,
cause it's the only thing I wanna do. Turns out, everyone does sound better in the shower. And it turns out, The General is a quality insurance company that's been saving people money for nearly 60 years.
I just wanna keep on loving you.
For a great low rate and nearly 60 years of quality coverage, make the right call and go with The General.
The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc. and Insurance Agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Krishna resistance on this 28th day. Wow, 28th day of September. This summer has flown by, folks, and we're heading towards winter very rapidly. Tonight we have, boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight, starting off with the young fella who is a rising star, produces the most powerful radio program in America, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. There you go. I mean, you didn't sound like you were excited about that.
Well, I'm very excited.
Okay. Good.
He's the only one brave enough to be on the show with the two of us.
Well, no, there's one other that is, and she is, well, she's all natural medicine. She is the marm of the apothecary. That's none other than Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor, and to all the listeners. Hello.
There you go. She's like a rose between the thorns out here tonight. And then way out yonder in Missouri. Now, here's the one thing about being in Missouri and about being in Ohio. We don't get hurricanes here. But now,
no.
But North Carolina sometimes gets hit with them and whipped with them somewhat, right?
We get tornadoes. They're quick, fast, scary. They don't last long, but they come suddenly and leave just as quick, but leave a lot of damage.
We get blizzards here in Ohio. We get blizzards. And so, you know,
it's racist. Those blizzards are white. That's racist, racist, racist.
I know it. I know it. We've got to repent of that. And I have repented of those blizzards, okay? But anyhow, speaking of all that, let's get serious. Serious is right now tonight. I have been getting text after text after text after text from people who have relatives in Florida, and I have a lot of relatives in Florida, and some of them unfortunately decided to stay there, and they shouldn't have, but anyhow.
Hunkered down,
yeah. Now they're wishing they hadn't, but you know, sometimes you can just tell people that's all you can do, right? But anyhow, we need to pray for these folks that are in Florida out there, especially a lot of the elderly people that we have. Joe, I know I have a lot of friends your age out there, and that shows you. So let's pray for those folks right now. But before we do that, there's power in prayer, right? And so what's the most important thing we can do? Everybody out there listening to us tonight, I mean everybody, probably most of them have relatives in Florida or friends of relatives in Florida. All you folks out there, listen, please, night after night, we tell you how much power there is in prayer. Just believe what the Word of God says. Believe what God's Word says, please. And because there are people out there tonight that it might be your prayers to keep them alive for tomorrow. So let's pray. Heavenly Father.
There are people calling for help that help cannot come because of the storm. So
yep.
God is their help.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we gather here tonight, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would hear the prayers of the people, Lord, out there. And they say, well, why does God allow such things? Well, Lord, your ways are much higher than ours. And we do know that in your word, you're telling us that this planet that we're living on is groaning. We know that this planet that we're living in is slowly, slowly wearing down, just like you said it would. And so we see these things happening, and again, we know that you are on the throne, you're in complete control. And Romans 8:29 says that all things work together for good to those that love you too, Lord. So, Lord, we just want to hold all of the people there. We want to hold them all up out there, Father God and Lord, and ask that you would, that through this storm, that this storm might bring many people out there to realize that they need you. Many people out there who were dependent upon all of the material things that they had, now they're gone, all those material things, and now they realize how temporal they are. And so, Lord, let it be that those people, Lord, that you would reach down, you would rescue them, out of the tempest, and through that, they would turn their desires towards you in all things, at all times, in every way, completely and totally, Lord, and that this storm might cause many to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and receive something that's not temporal, but something that's eternal, and that's eternal life. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And Father, if I could add to that, we won't know until later the damage that costs, but as things clear out, there'll be many men and women that are going to rush in by boat, by plane, by truck. They'll be trying to restore power. They'll be searching for bodies. They'll be putting themselves in harm's way, and we ask that you watch over all of those that will be doing acts of courage and heroism throughout the night and into tomorrow, and that you watch over them and bless them and let them be examples of how Christians, how people in this country treat their fellow brothers and sisters, as you do for the least of these, my brethren, you do for you. And just may God bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, getting into our message for tonight. You know, Joe, we talked about this week last night about how in the last couple of nights that the title of the message is God's Righteous Vengeance, God's Righteous Vengeance. And I have heard in my lifetime, I've heard very few preachers preach on it. I've listened to or read many of Charles Spurgeon's sermons, but I never came across one where he preached on God's righteous vengeance. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't, but I just never came across one. And even O.J. Vernon McGee, I've heard him preach. And over the years, many, many times, I listened to him, and yet I've never heard him preach on God's righteous vengeance. And, of course, many of my mentors and the pastors that I've known for many years that have gone home to be with the Lord, but there's a couple that I have, and one of them, Wendy, you know, I think very well, and that's John Weaver. I heard John Weaver. Now, I preached on this years ago, but I got to admit I haven't preached on it in several years. But John Weaver was one, and he's a good preacher. But that's the title, God's Righteous Vengeance. And so tonight we're going to pick it up where does God use his elect to execute vengeance on his enemies? That's what we're going to ask tonight. And we're going to pick it up in Numbers chapter 25. And as we do, I want you, Joe, to read verses 1 through 4, and then stop.
All right. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel.
So God had called the pledge. Now, here's the Midianite women, the daughters of Moab. They were whores. And, I mean, that was the, well, it's kind of like in America today, a whole lot of
it,
you know.
It was really a common feature of their whole religion. The prostitution was a part of their religious worship and, you know, very much part of the culture.
It was, but in this case, they were set in to seduce the men of Israel. That was their job, to go in, seduce the men of Israel, and marry them and get their wealth, okay? And so God had told the men of Israel very, very clearly to have nothing to do with these women, because once they seduced them, then they would start teaching them to be Baal worshipers.
Right, and lead them astray.
That's what Jezebel was, a Baal worshiper. And so that was what, and again, Jezebel's table.
Solomon, his wives led him astray. They believed in false gods and false religions.
Right. And so here we saw that at Jezebel's table, they had nothing but orgies there. So here now, that was the reason that God was so angry. In fact, Joe, go over to Numbers 31, and I believe read 15 and 16, if I remember right. Verses 15 and 16. Numbers 31.
And Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord.
Okay, so here now, the Lord had commanded that they kill all these women because of what they had done. They were sent in there to purposely to seduce the men. But now if we go back to and pick it back up in verse 5, well, let's go back to verses 4, where he says, then the Lord said, take all the heads of the people and hang them before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Now, the heads have two applications there. First of all, he was talking about leaders, but then he was talking about also their physical heads.
Heads, yes. That meant it was a kill order. Kill them, then decapitate them, and then hang their head up, you know, before against the sun. Hang them up on a spear or something against the sun.
Well, these were the men that had gone or allowed and didn't stop the men of Israel from committing whoredom with the women of Moab here.
Right. And so most of them probably went along with them.
Well, yeah, that's why they were in it, because these women were very seductive. They were very seductive. And this is why
professional prostitutes, they were experts at handling men.
Yep. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his men that were joined into Baal Peor. Now, Wendy, you just jump in. Anytime you have a comment or question, just jump right in there.
I will.
And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So here they're weeping because God has brought a plague upon them for what has taken place. And here now, here comes this guy, and he's got this whore with him. And he's, you know, it's like, you know, we'll, you know, who are you? We'll do what we want, right?
Right. And, well, he was rubbing it in their face. They just lost a husband or a brother or a son. They were slain, and they're weeping for their loss, and he brings this whore into the midst of them. I mean, this was shocking.
And so here now, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. And so here now, you know, today we have the very same type of reprobate. I was watching a film tonight, and this was made by Barron Trump. This film was made by Barron Trump. Now, it shows you the satanic of the left. It shows you what we've been telling people, Joe, for how long have we been telling people that the left, the Democratic Communist Party, is just ripe with pedophilia. It's just filled with pedophilia. And the apostate church. Well, in this, it shows you, in this film, it's a very long film. Now, there's some rough language, and they're used by some parents that are pretty upset because they're, in one case, you had a place where you had a gym, a woman's health club where they go to work out, and they let these transgenders come in there, and their policy was to let the transgenders go right into the showers with the women.
With the ladies, too.
Yeah, and some of them didn't mind, but some of them were really upset. And they were screaming, this guy is not a trans, he's a man. And so that's where some of that, where he's, you know, he's telling that he's got all the body parts of a man. He's in there, wearing a shower, and this guy comes in here. No, we don't want him in there with us, but the people in charge said, well, you know, you can't, you know, that's the law. You got to let them in there. Well, no, it's not the law.
Throw him out.
And then you have this other group, Joe, where you have these wicked, evil, ungodly, horrible, wicked parents that bring in their children to these drag queens. And they got these little girls about 4 or 5 years old, and they're dressed up like little whores. And they got the little girls singing, I want to talk dirty with you. You know, got them, and they're laughing at this. And these mothers that do this to their little daughters, I mean, they ought to be.
The ones that have their little 5-year-old boys dressed up like little whores doing a tweaking, you know, mimicking the trannies dancing. That's even worse.
Well, anyhow, this film is made in by, it's there, and it's Barron Trump, and this kid has grown up. I mean, he's really tall. I don't know how tall he is, but he's probably about 6'4", 6'5". But anyhow, here he goes on to say, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned away my wrath from among the children of Israel. Okay, and so we see that they had 24,000 had been killed off. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with a Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman that was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was the head over the people and of a chief of the house of Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and And in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. So here again, what do we see? What the point that we make here is that God uses his elect to execute vengeance on his enemies. And, you know, I think, well, and that's a part of the message that we have, is we are to be zealous. We are to be, do you know how the left is loud. The left screams. They scream and they scream until they get their way. Our side has not been aggressive. You saw how the Democrats will you tell people to get out there, go into the restaurants, go wherever you find conservatives, get in their face, scream at them, okay?
They're not welcome here. We don't want you in the restaurant. We don't want you in our store. Yeah, they're very powerful in their speech and their actions, and Christians are assuming we have to be meek and mild like Jesus, but they forget Jesus, when he went into the temple with the money changers, he had braided his own whip. He turned over these tables. These weren't card tables. These were stone tables, and he hurled these tables over and chased everybody out of the temple with the money changers, chased all these men out with a whip, and it was calling them names. This is not, Jesus wasn't always meek and gentle. He was
right. He called them out. He called them out by name. John the Baptist called Herod, you've taken your brother's wife. The Apostle Paul, Peter, they called him out by name. Samuel, you know, when David had sinned, and Nathan, they called him out by name. Samuel called Saul out. So can you imagine today? Now, there are some of us that do that. We've been calling Joe Obama Biden out. We've been calling him out by name, and we're supposed to. We've been calling out people like Chuckie Schumer. These are very, very wicked people.
The Liar of the Year Award. Yeah, we've been calling it just like it is, the truth.
Now, just imagine this. Just imagine if Mr. Graham would call him out by name. Now, think about that. Think about if all...
The shock would be... I would enjoy watching that, the shock of the people.
Right. But we see throughout the entire Bible, and pastors have to become more bold. They have to become bolder. Now, I want to praise the good Lord for some of the Republicans we do have out there, like Josh Hawley, for example. Josh Hawley, he does call him out. He's been calling him out by name. He's called Merrick Garland. He's called him out by name.
Cruz has been calling him out.
Right.
Strongly.
Our Kentucky senator has been going after Mr. Fauci by name. He's been calling him out by name. We need to do that. And so if the pastors were bolder, if they were bold enough to do that, to call them out, and I mean be bold, and just call them out and tell them they need to repent or perish, you know. That's what's got to be done. It's got to be done. I mean, we're at that time. All of the signs of their things, if they don't stand up, you know, it's now or never. For America, it's now or never for the church to stand up and speak out.
We see this with the attack on the children, with the transsexuals, with the everything, with the LGBTQ, all the alphabet soup garbage. You know, they're destroying the innocents. They're destroying children spiritually, physically, mentally. They're destroying the family. They're breaking apart the nation. They are fomenting every wicked and evil thing that they can think of. And the church, they used to be called the church militant. The church would go out and, you know, preach sin and heaven sweet, hell hot. And I hear crickets from most of the so-called, quote, churches. They're standing by, they listen, and they go, oh, isn't that horrible? And, you know, let's pray about it. but they don't tell people to speak out, vote, you know, nothing.
Well, folks listening out there, you need to do it. Tell Franklin Graham, call him out by name. Tell Charles, what's his name, Stanley, call him out by name. Folks, it's time. You got to call him out by name. And just like the Lord Jesus did. Remember what he said, woe unto you lawyers, woe unto you Pharisees. Seven times in Matthew 23, the seven woes unto the Pharisees. He called them out by name. Anyhow, we'll be back right after this with more.
The pilgrims heard the sovereign words of God on the European shores, then rose to flee the persecuting powers that held England in her throes. In sailing ships they crossed the oceans wide to the land our God bestowed, to plant the seed of Christian liberty so that all the world would know. Prosperity and health, but the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth and sent the British armies to make war with his Sons of Liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves, we the people, United States of America, shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
We the people, United States of America,
our God reigns and proclaims liberty.
United States of America.
Of conspiracy unfolds in our nation's history, as the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land, and once again Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves,
we the people, United States of America, shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
America. We're talking to you, the people of the United States of America. It's time to stand up and be counted, not to be intimidated by corruption. We're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to allow the dirty cops, Merrick Garland and his dirty cops out there. By the way, we're going to be playing a clip here, and it's from a very highly respected former FBI agent, John Gandolo. And he's got a message. He's got his message for his fellow agents out there in the FBI. And it's kind of the message that we've been putting out there about having some honor and integrity and obeying God rather than their corrupt, and I mean extremely corrupt, people like Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. And especially, you know, Jobama Biden, who has declared war on Christians. He has declared war on every Christian in this country. And it's time for you Christians to stand up and be men and be bold. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of the women here recently, Wendy, standing up and being bold. But it's time that we have more men, especially those in the pulpit, but those in politics too. So with that, Miss Wendy Wilson, what wonderful words of wisdom do you have for us tonight? Because you always got good advice.
Well, I thank you. I try. Well, you know, we've talked about some of the technology not being so healthy for us, including our vision, right? You know, a lot of times we get eye strain and dry eye from looking at our computers and so forth. But, you know, neurologists are very concerned about our brain and eye health. And there was a recent report on the wavelength from the light and the radiation that emits from a lot of these devices. One report was in the Physicians for Safe Technology, and we'll go over that. But, you know, the Asian populations, Pastor, are quickly becoming the most nearsighted people on the planet. And 90% of the populace of Japan, for instance, is nearsighted. They have myopia. So the Asians love their technology more than us in the West, and it's contributing to vision issues. About 32 million Americans, that's 10% of our population over the age of 40, has nearsightedness. That's when your objects far away look blurry and out of focus. But, you know, the study that really perked my interest in the Physicians for Safe Technology, they were sharing some of their research findings regarding your smart technology with blue light. The risks they reported were affecting your eye health. For instance, retinal damage, computer vision syndrome, which we'll go over in a minute what that is, skin damage, your skin ages faster, melatonin reduction, circadian rhythm disruption, your sleep cycle is disrupted, nearsightedness, and what is called wireless radiation oxidization. So have you ever heard of the computer vision syndrome, Pastor?
Yeah, I have. I have, and I don't sit in front of a computer all day, but I do say my phone rings all day, my smart aleck phone. It rings all day. It rings all day, and it seems like it's always on, and I notice that that's kind of a blue light that comes out of that phone, isn't it?
Right, right. Well, the American Optometrist Association says your computer vision syndrome is also called digital eye, and it really describes a lot of eye strain and a lot of vision-related issues from prolonged work on computers, you know, or tablets, e-readers, or your smartphones. They said the average American worker spends 7 hours a day on a computer, either in the office or at home, working from home. They said to help alleviate your digital eye strain, follow the 20-20-20 rule, which is take a 20-second break. That's 20 seconds. You want to take a break, and you want to look at something 20 feet away, and you want to do that every 20 minutes. Okay, so this helps alleviate the eye strain a little bit. So what do you suppose it is? Why are we viewing computer screens? Why is it really harming the human eye? Well, they compared printed text, you know, you print on a piece of paper, to the print you see on the screen. And the pixel that makes up the font size on the screen is not as clear and sharp as a printed word is on a piece of paper. And the eye notices that. And there's this contrast level of the letters on the background. It's reduced, and it also creates a lot of glare and reflection, so it makes the viewing more difficult for the human eye. Now, how many of you out there have been saying you have difficulty reading maybe light gray text on a white background on a computer screen? They kind of blend together a little bit. It makes it hard to see, right?
Right.
Here's what they said. Eye focusing and eye movement requirements for digital screen viewing can place additional demands on the visual system. In addition, the presence of even minor vision problems can often significantly reflect discomfort and performance issues when working on computers or other digital screen devices. So what they're saying is if you've got eye strain, Pastor, they're using wetting drops. A lot of people use wetting drops. Their eye feels real dry because you're not blinking your eye enough when you're looking at a computer screen. So some of the common vision symptoms were eye strain, headaches, blurred vision, dry eye, and neck and shoulder pain, because they're saying, especially if you're wearing glasses and you're looking at that screen, you may tilt your head a certain way because you can see the letters better, or you may even move your head closer to the screen to see something, and you're straining your shoulder and your neck. And you may even have trouble focusing your eyes. They're supposed to coordinate together, and sometimes you feel like they're not, and you may even get some blurry double vision. But the American Optometric Association says your blue light technology is not just giving people eye strain and dry eye. They're saying in their report, cataracts are forming, and they're forming more rapidly. Their report mentions the impact of what is called radio frequency radiation, especially from your wireless device, your smart aleck phone, Pastor. And as more research is being done on this, Pastor, doctors and scientists are finding a host of health risks while being exposed to your digital screens. They're reporting the youth are being raised on these devices, and they may be risking their eyesight well before middle age. Well, it's not just, you know, extended exposure. It's also, they mentioned, short exposure is very disruptive as well. Blue light technology is being used in interior and exterior lighting, in your automobile, toys, decorative lights. So it's pretty much an exposure blanket, and you're getting a lot of oxidative damage from the blue light radiation. So your cell phone. Oh, by the way, Pastor, I came across something really interesting. Do you know what Staphylococcus aureus bacteria is?
Well, I know I've heard of the staph, and I know what bacteria is.
Right.
But I bet Joe don't know what it is. Let's ask him. Hey, Joe, what is it?
It's a type of bacteria.
Wow, he's brilliant.
He said it so clearly too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can't fool him. Alrighty.
Yeah, well, in 2017, they did this in vitro study where they took some of this bacteria in a petri dish, exposed it to the blue light from a smartphone, and it killed the bacteria.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hmm. Now, your eye is real vulnerable, according to the research on this technology. Your eyes are in the front of your skull, and they're not really covered. So accumulative damage from this technology is going to affect your cornea, the cataract, the lens, and give you a cataract, and also melatonin reduction or sleep disturbance. So even if you hold your smartphone 12 inches from your face, you're still getting oxidative stress, and the lack of consistent and adequate sleep will increase your risk of a lot of diseases, including cancer and heart disease. So now this is important. Melatonin, as we know, is important antioxidant for proper sleep. It's necessary to also, Pastor, protect the structure of your eye. Did you know that?
No.
So so the scientists are finding people have lower melatonin, they have increased risk of cataracts, and they see more and more cataract surgeries are happening to younger and younger people, beautiful, not just people in their 70s anymore.
Yeah.
And
I
there was this French.
Go ahead, Joe.
I go to a neuro ophthalmologist, and he was talking about that the other day. I was thinking one of the things that he mentioned, these video gamers are some of the ones that are doing hours of the gaming are the ones that he's seen this happen to.
Right. Well, and, yeah, they're not blinking. They're watching the game. A lot of rapid eye movement. No time to blink.
Well, you know, Wendy, I would go into the optometrist every couple of years and get new glasses, and they would tell me that eventually I'm going to have cataracts. Well, in my family, my father and my sisters, they had cataracts. They said it's a ways off, but you're going to eventually get cataracts, okay? Well, then I got those eye drops. Remember I asked you for, I had those floaters in my eyes?
Right,
and I got and I got your eye drops, and to begin with, they stung somewhat, but I used that, right. And after I used that for a little while, when I go back to them, nobody mentions anything about any cataracts because that film in that on the eye was gone.
Oh, okay, and the oxidative protein, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you probably had what was the beginning. They call them baby cataracts. So that's good. You know, you can nip those pretty quickly in the bud usually. It's when you get the more advanced, mature ones, they're harder to get rid of. But, you know, there was this French study in 2014. This was the French Agency for Food, Environment, and Occupational Health and Safety, and they found your blue light produces a phototoxic effect on your sleep cycle, your circadian rhythm, and a variation in intensity of these lights will produce more glare and have definite health risks. But here's the thing I mentioned to you off-air, Pastor. China has seen the effects of too much screen blue light on their children, and it's creating health issues. And so they don't want a majority of their population going blind. So China has banned any computers, tablets, or smartphones in the schools. The children are not to be exposed to it. And then when they go home, the government has instructed parents that during the day after school, there is no more than 1 hour of exposure to any of this technology, and it has to be within 15-minute increments. And they also dictate the backlighting, the proper seating distance from the screen, and so forth. So China is being proactive at protecting their population from vision loss. A Swedish study in 2006 said these were pathologists that found that blue light causes a macular of the eye to rapidly age and degenerate. So macular degeneration is a big problem nowadays, and it's not helped with any of this blue light. They cited acute inflammation and what is called lipofusion deposition, which is an aging pigment. It's a brown-yellow pigment. It has an electron-dense autofluorescent material to it, and it damages, it accumulates, and then it damages the macula. A lot of oxidative stress, they say, and free radicals. So also Toledo Department of Chemistry found the same thing, and it was also confirmed by a study in Spain that the blue light damages your photoreceptor cells in your eye, especially in the retina, and they can't be replaced, they said. So we got a problem. We got people that are going to wind up one day at the eye doctor's office, and they can't see very well.
Well, don't you know? Can't you get a screen to put on your computers? And I don't know.
Yeah, I looked into that.
I have blue screen on my computer. They're relatively easy to get. You can order them off the internet. And all I had to do is just kind of hang mine over the front and tie a little string to the back. And, you know, anybody can do it. It's real easy. It's not that expensive.
Well, you know what? Right. I need to order those for the computers at our church.
And what you want to be discerning about ordering, you just don't want a blue light filter. You want one that is also going to block the radiation coming off of it. So there's two different kinds. So you want the one that will block the blue light radiation, okay?
Mm. All righty. Well, I need to be able to find a good source to pick those up on because definitely.
Yeah, I think they are on eBay. They make a distinction there, and you can order them in different sizes to fit your monitor or your laptop. I didn't see any for big flat screen TVs though. I haven't seen those.
Well, I mean, you know, the flat screen TVs. How close do you get to them? I mean, what's the, is there, you know, like we have,
Well,
we have
one. Well, there's a cumulative effect. You sit in front of them often enough, and you'll get some of that.
Well, I have one in my studio at home, but I said about, it's a big one, big screen, but I'm 20 feet away from it. Is that, well.
Well, I mean, just limit your exposure. Be like
yeah.
China.
Well, I do. I don't. Basically, the only TV I watch is I watch the news. I watch Tucker when I can, and Hannity and some of these, and some of the old movies, the old classic movies I like to watch. But other than that, I don't watch any TV. All righty, you ready to shift gears? We got a whole lot of stuff. That was very interesting. Information.
Oh, don't forget, we're having our fall wellness sale at Apothecary Herb. So It'll end on the 1st of October, so if you want to save 25%, now's the time.
By calling 866. Nope. It's 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Or go up on the internet to www.thepowerherbs.com. That's thepowerherbs.com. And, you know, I would suggest people, too, if you're having a problem with cataracts or those floaters in your eyes, to get that the eye drops that you have. I know I just ordered some for one of the ladies in the church, and now another one's come up and asked me about that. So, anyhow.
You also put it on your lenses.
You put it on your lenses?
Yeah, you can get UV light protection on your lenses.
No kidding. How about that? You can put that UV light protection on your glasses, too. I didn't know that. But there you go. Anyhow, folks. 866-229-3663, Apothecary Herbs. In fact, I'd get a booklet. I would get the catalog right now. Wendy, the UN food chief warns of chaos, and he says it's going to be hell. It's going to be devastation from famine this winter. So expect price controls, expect rationing and criminalization of preppers. Now, this is all going to be done on purpose. This is being done right now on purpose. And Joe Obama and the Democrats are responsible for this stuff that's being done. But he's talking about people that are getting prepared. In other words, those are saying, you know what, and I've been noticing lately people are doing just that. I often will go out to the salvage stores, because you can get such buys on things at the salvage stores out there. Probably shouldn't say this, but like we use a lot of coffee at church, and you go out there and hear coffee that you might spend $12, $15 for a big can there, and Giant Eagle, or what do you call it, one of these others, Kroger. You get out there and you get it for $6 at the salvage store. So much cheaper. I mean, so much cheaper. So, but I've been noticing they've been packed. People have been going in there and people are stocking up on all kinds of food right now because there's a dark winter coming, and I encourage our listeners to get prepared, get stocked up. All right, let me just read you a little bit of this very quickly. Events are playing out like clockwork. Have you noticed that everything emerging on the world stage right now, food scarcity, inflation, energy crisis, escalating war, vaccine deaths, and more, was predicted well in advance by Natural News, InfoWars, and other independent media outlets. How about the one that was way out ahead of them, Joe? Which media outlet was way out ahead of even Natural News and InfoWars?
Christian Talk Radio.
That's right.
Specific program.
And we were on top of that years ago, you know, way out ahead. But now, he goes on to say, the only people surprised by all this are the oblivious masses who don't really read in independent media. For those who do, this is like following along with the Hollywood script that's playing out in real life. And so, widespread food scarcity in Europe this winter and well into 2023 and beyond. Food scarcity strikes America in 2023 persists for years due to lack of fertilizer. Governments initiate price controls on food items. The result is worsening scarcity and widespread civil unrest. Governments then introduce rationing as a means of control, like using COVID-19 tracking tech and mobile phone apps that are repurposed for the purpose of implementing mass starvation. This is what we keep warning people. We keep warning. It's being done absolutely on purpose, folks.
We told them about all the countries overseas that had stopped using fertilizer, that were doing the green thing, and all the collapse of farming, the lack of food, the government's falling. And we're trying to do the same stupid thing in this country as we watch all these other countries fall, suffer, and collapse. And we, like you just read, starvation all over the world. I want to remind everybody, Noah was a prepper, folks, the original prepper. He saw something coming. God told him what to do to be prepared. And I've got a plaque above the door in front of my house. Noah was a prepper.
Well, see, Joe, one of the things that you're going to see, like, you know, we went back to growing a big garden that we put in a church garden, a victory garden this year, and boy, did it produce. But now, what a lot of the people out there across the country, especially those that live out in the farm areas like where you live, they have to not only be prepared to grow that garden, but protect that garden. Because yeah. the people in the cities will come out looking for food.
Well, and in the suburbs, yeah. you can take a backyard and you can, you know, your nice pretty backyards, but you can turn that into a garden with a little intensive gardening. A backyard can produce an awful lot of food. In fact,
yeah, the problem is if you're in some of these, you know, neighborhoods that have a lot of covenants, you have to get permission to plant that kind of stuff, you know?
Oh.
They just, yeah, it's bad. If you're in one of those HOA covenants.
Garden veggies without asking permission?
Well, it depends on where you're at. Some of these neighborhoods have strict covenants, and you have to get permission to plant a tree.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't. If I couldn't grow a garden in my backyard as I please,
right.
I wouldn't live there.
Do you know what? Do you know what guerrilla gardening is? Guerrilla gardening is when you're growing food during famine. That means you don't grow food in rows, nice little rows where it's easy to be spotted as a garden. Okay, you plant things in a scattered, diverse pattern that looks like nothing like a garden. Okay, this is what people have had to learn over the years. So.
In the middle
here.
Of your flowers and stuff, huh?
Yeah, well, you can grow tomatoes, potatoes, melons, and such more without it looking like a garden, yeah.
You even have those hanging things now where you can grow tomatoes hanging from your deck or something.
Oh, yeah.
Upside down, yeah. But
I wanted to mention, you mentioned Noah and Pastor, the ark encounter. That door to the ark is tremendously large, and you know,
yes.
we often think it was for the animals to come through. They had to be big. Maybe Noah and his people were tall. What do you think?
Yeah, well they were a lot taller, a lot bigger than we are. And in fact, the average height on those, they say, going back to skeletons and that have been dug up, for men were like 14 feet, and the average height for women were between 10 and 12 feet. And those were people that were there before the flood. So, so they were much bigger than we are, for sure. But guess who shut that door? It was God that shut the door.
Right. And,
it didn't matter how big it was; He can shut it.
Yep. And
right.
Yeah.
By the
and
word.
So, and people better listen to, because remember what it was that they were doing. That caused God to bring the flood was, what did they do? They had fallen angels had taken women as wives, and they changed the DNA. They were changing the human DNA. Guess what?
DNA, like they're trying to do today with the poison poke.
Okay. Sweetie study. Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine alters DNA within 6 hours. A February 2022 report done by researchers at Lund University in Sweden investigates the BNTi-162b2 vaccine effects on human cells with a view determining if its encoded spike protein RNA can be reverse transcribed into human DNA. The aforementioned paper was published. In other words, within 6 hours, it changes the DNA. We'll pick up on this, but we're coming up to a break. And then after the break, we're going to listen to a clip from John Gondalo, a former FBI agent. And boy, I'm going to tell you, he drops a dime. He's a whistleblower on the corruption in the agency. So we'll be back after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.